Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 5 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 through 28. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at the end of chapter 7, the interpretation of Daniel's dream during the end of the Babylonian reign of his life. Before we jump into that, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? God, speak to us, fill us and touch us with the knowledge of you. With the knowledge of the Holy One, this Ancient of Days, we want to know you. Come and touch our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 15. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all of this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kings that will rise from the earth. But the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. I love this. See, the angel makes this very, very quick. You know, he tells him, you know, first of all, Daniel's like, I don't get any of this. I mean, we've had the whole of the dream and now Daniel is telling us, this was really weird. This really freaked me out. I had no idea what to do with all these beasts and all this kind of stuff. I mean, Daniel is the guy who could interpret the dreams for Nebuchadnezzar and everyone else. And then when he has his own, he's like, I don't get any of this. I don't get any of this. So, you know, when you have your own dreams and you're like, I don't understand any of this, you're in good company. Cause even Daniel had trouble with his own dreams. But an angel comes to him and tells him the interpretation of all of these things. And he goes very quickly. He's like, listen, the four beasts are four kingdoms that are going to come. But the important part, as he tells him, is in the end, the holy people, your people, the people who name the name of the Most High, they are going to persist forever and forever. They're going to receive the kingdom and possess it. So not only, and this is the important part here, is not only is Jesus, the Messiah, going to possess the kingdom forever and ever, but his people will too. And this is the most amazing thing in all eternity. I think this is the thing that we will forever, for billions and trillions of years into the future, we will be amazed by is not only did you rescue us, you saved us from our sins. You forgave our sins and you rescued us from that. And you gave us eternal life. But not only that, Jesus, you shed your blood for us. But not only that, you offered us everything in the kingdom. He wants to share the kingdom with us. When you read Revelation and you understand this revelation of Jesus, it's that he is going to be victorious over injustice and wickedness. And in the process, he is going to give us, as in the saints that pledge their allegiance to him, he's going to give us everything that his Father has given to him. All of this authority and rulership. When you look at Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you see over and over, to him who overcomes, I will give this. Seven different times he gives promises of things that have been offered to him that he then freely offers back to us. So when he says, when Jesus told his disciples, freely you have received, freely give, he means that because he has received things that he deserves. And then he has freely given them to us, those who did not deserve those things. It's mind-blowing. And that's what the angel tells him. He's like, listen, these four beasts, they're just four kingdoms, but the important part is the Most High, he's going to inherit the kingdom, and so will you. So will your people. That's the important part. It's not that there's God on his throne in a kingdom. I think everybody can understand that God's not going to lose. The important part is that we win too. And when people say, you know, hey, I've read the end of the book, God wins. You know, sometimes I say, I read the book, the end of the book, we win. And that's the important part. It's not that God wins. Because we know that. is that we win too. Those of us who pledge allegiance to the Most High, to God, to Jesus, we inherit all of these things with him. Let's continue on. Verse 19. Then I wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which 3 of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. This right here, Daniel didn't tell us this part of the dream in the first 14 verses, but now he's kind of backtracking and giving us a little bit more information as he's now discussing this with the angel. He's saying, hey, I wanted to know what this fourth beast was. You know, he gives us the most detail about that. We don't know if he got more detail about the first 3 beasts, but the angel kind of passes over all 4 of them. And Daniel's like, wait a second. It's the fourth beast that bothers me. It's the fourth beast that is problematic. Can you explain this? And so he's told that, you know, or he tells us that in the dream, this beast, and this is why he's disturbed by it, is given authority to wage war against God's holy people and to overcome them, to win. That is troubling. I mean, we're just told, hey, you know, you're holy people, you win. You guys win. And then Daniel backtracks, is like, wait a second. I forgot to tell you something. We lose. You told me that we lose here. This dream, I saw that God's people lose because you're going to give authority to this horrible beast to wage war against us and win. And the fascinating thing is we're told the exact same thing in the book of Revelation. Revelation 13:7, it tells us that the beast, the Antichrist, was given authority to make war against the saints and to overcome them. And it's this, to me, it's one of the most terrifying passages in all of the book of Revelation. One of the things that we must understand about the end times, and we read Revelation and these passages in Daniel and other end times passages in the Old Testament and New Testament, when we read them, we have to understand that the wrath and the fury and all of the craziness that happens, it is not aimed at God's people, at the saints, at those who name the name of Jesus. It is not aimed at us. But in the midst of all of that, it will be difficult. And it's very clear here that the Antichrist, God will give him authority to actually kill believers. And that is just mind-blowing. But in the midst of this, what's going to happen is the full measure, and that is what's going to go on in the end times, is the full measure of man's anger and violence and rage against God will come out and will be taken out on God's people. And the message of the end times is not that, you know, there's going to be suffering and all of that kind of stuff. That happens all the time. That's ongoing. The suffering will be heightened and it will be worldwide, but suffering is happening all the time. There are people around you and I that are suffering right now. Suffering is nothing new. So any revelation that we're going to suffer or have something that's going to overcome us, it's bad news. It really is. But it's not anything different than what people on planet Earth have been going through for thousands of years. There have been people who have oppressed people and murdered and tortured them for thousands of years. This is nothing new. This shouldn't be the thing that shocks us. What this is it's a hint here, telling us that the Lord is going to give him the authority to do as he pleases and to harm God's people. He's going to give him authority for this, as we're going to get into here, for times and half a time, 3.5 years, until Jesus stands up and the saints in heaven are going to say, how long until you avenge our blood, the ones that have been murdered by this madman and by the wicked people in the end times and moving toward the end times, how long until you avenge our blood, all of the martyrs who died for Jesus? And he's going to wait just a little longer. Then at some point, he is going to stand up and he is going to exact justice on this beast. And this beast, again, is so bad. How bad do you have to be to spend 1,000 years more in hell than Satan himself? And that's who this beast is. This beast is going to receive more punishment than Satan himself. Let that sink in. Let's continue on. Verse 23. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It'll be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times, and half a time. That's Bible code for 3.5 years. And the reason we know that is Revelation makes that abundantly clear. It tells us in many different ways, 1260 days, 3.5 years, time, times, and half a time. It tells us multiple different ways for the same thing. So we know that this is the last 3.5 years, or otherwise known as the Great Tribulation. Verse 26, but the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. He's like, this was so crazy, I didn't even know what to say. I didn't know what to tell anybody. I wrote it down, but I'm like, I didn't even know how to talk about this. You've probably had an experience like that before where it's just so otherworld or out of the ordinary. He's like, I don't even know how to tell people about what just happened. That's what Daniel's saying. He's like, this thing was so other than this dream. I didn't even know what to say to people. The good news here is the Antichrist is going to be destroyed. And again, in Revelation, we know this very clearly. This lines up, what Daniel's telling us lines up very clearly with what we've been told about the end times in the New Testament. Is the Antichrist is going to be defeated, he's going to be destroyed, and that Jesus is going to take up his rule forever. And the thing that some people don't understand about the end times is you're not going to float on a cloud, ethereally, you know, kind of existing in some spirit form, strumming a harp and being bored to tears for all eternity. The Bible never, ever says that. The Bible makes it very clear that for all eternity, you and I will live on the earth with Jesus as our King on the earth and God the Father ruling in the city of Jerusalem forever. We're going to live on the earth with resurrected fleshly bodies on this very same rock that we're spinning around the sun right now. We're going to be here for all eternity. Jesus is going to rule and reign. He is going to be the eternal king. He is this one. And so our eternal existence is not going to be one of boredom. It's going to be one of amazement. I say this from time to time about the end times and about eternity. Is eternity is not going to be an experience that's completely or wholly other than or completely different than what we know now. It's not going to be some disembodied spiritual experience. It's actually going to be very much like the experience we have now. It just won't be wholly other than or wholly different than. It will be wholly and completely better than what we know now. It will be very familiar to what we know. The Bible makes that very clear. But it will be without the pain, without the tears, without the suffering. All of those things that mark us and mark humanity right now, those things will be gone, but we will still be human. We will still be flesh. It will be different. And there's some aspects of all of eternity we don't understand, a lot of aspects of eternity that we don't understand. But we do know that because the Bible makes it very clear. We will have resurrected bodies. We will be flesh and blood. We will be ruling and reigning, whatever that means in some capacity, with Jesus on the earth. All of these things are clear in the Bible, and Daniel is giving us our first very clear glimpse into that. I find this passage so fascinating and so amazing. Well, we've come to the end of chapter 7 for the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.